Sci-Fi.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is Starman's audio produced podcast. Here we go. One believer, one guest, and one cynic. The order was wrong, but we're good. I've been drinking for a while.
Yeah.
Willie, any UFO sightings?
Oh, you know, it's funny. I have not looked in the sky since last time. So, no. We've had a lot of cloudy days, but I've also kind of avoided sometimes because I'm like, I don't like to get too overtaken by what I'm seeing. So sometimes I don't look.
All right. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF our good friend, Martin Olson. He's an author, Encyclopedia of Death. Do you have any? I'm sorry, I'm bad.
Comedy writer, music writer. You have a new book that just came out. What's the new encyclopedia called?
I salute your attempts. You know, you realize we're all going to be dead soon, right?
Yeah. Oh, dude.
No credits.
I am so on board with that.
Nothing fucking matters. So let's just move on.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I am so fucking with you on that. Oh my God. Yeah. No, we're all doomed. It's fine.
We're all doomed. But the interesting thing now is the signets of the doom right in front of us that the listeners can't perceive because you're all in bandages like a fucking guy in traction. Like it's like from your COVID deathbed.
Here's the thing. Like my father, I will never die. And so I'm fine. It's just a little, I hurt my paw. That's fine. I'll be all right.
I'm sorry about that, man.
It's all right. What do you expect when you go golfing? Right? Like, isn't golfing like the most selfish thing that you could possibly ever do? So it's fine that I like broke my hand golfing because I'm not contributing to society in any way by going golfing.
Well, here's what you're doing, because I had this argument. I played you, and I was talking to my friend Barry, a comedian, and he said, look, I'm getting exercise outside. Otherwise, I'm inside drinking or taking drugs, and I'm outside in the under the sun. So it's a good thing, not a bad thing.
Right.
So I think that you're just trying to cover your bases, because everything basically is evil. So you're trying to just sort of cover your bases, but really it's a good thing. You're out in the sun, you're having exercise. It's fucking beautiful there.
Yeah, I would say that it is a very zen sport to do. You're competing with your own mind. And
oh my God, he nailed it. That's it.
Golf is the ultimate, like, listen, here's the thing. I'm very good at golf. I have a good swing. I have like the physicality of like, this is a perfect golf swing. I'm not saying my golf swing is perfect, but what I am saying is it's better than like a lot of people. And I still suck at golf because the reason that I suck at golf is because I'm beating myself up the whole time.
Yeah.
I like fuck that shot up and that makes me want to kill myself.
Yeah, but he is good though. He played on the golf team for a hot sec, like golfed most of his life. His dad's a great golfer. Like,
no way.
He's in a golf family. Wow. Just saying, like, a lot of people say they're good and they're not.
Oh.
Wade's good.
Right. Well, I'm not good, but like I know that I have let's see, like what else is it like? Like if you have the
You realize talking about golf, everybody's going to just click us off. You know that, right?
No. Fuck them. They don't even deserve to hear the rest of this if they're going to click us off because we're talking about golf. Like golf is, well, shit. I mean, I would say it's the great equalizer, but you do need a bunch of money to play golf. So it's probably not.
Well, golf was originally made by the Goths. You know that? And they used decapitated heads. You know what I mean? They would have a big hole and a club and hit it down the field. So it really comes from a very macho, death-oriented.
Are you serious?
Mindset. No, I just made that up.
Oh, I was like, that sounds like it. That sounds like it came out of your encyclopedia. If that's real, I'm freaking out.
I don't. Yeah, you can't hit decapitated hands. They won't go anywhere.
I was like, how did the Christians leave this alone?
Dude, that actually is true. Where they would shellac the heads. I mean, it just was. Obviously.
They turn them into hard as rock.
Yes.
That's how bowling was created, right?
Yeah, they got the nose and the mouth.
Martin.
Yes.
You've been on the show a few times. Do you want to do the WoW scale? Or do you think you know where you lie?
Well, look. The premise of the show is based on a polarity. This particular topic doesn't have one because it's about identity.
Oh, that's interesting, actually. Yeah.
And
you want to skip it? Let's skip it.
I think we were stuck with that. Why don't we force that premise into it?
Well, there's no way we're going to have a short WoW scale. Right. There's no way.
Well, what's the topic like? Are we going to have a short topic? Okay, then let's just do it, man. Willie, what are we talking about?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, connected consciousness, the illusion of the self.
Yeah, man.
Samadhi.
Oh, shit.
I think, therefore, I am.
Yeah, man.
Oh, we got to figure out who the I is, or is labeling ourselves as the I taking away who we really are? Find out tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Wow. I have another way to say it, Wade, that follows up on what Willie just said. As far as I was concerned, when Willie first proposed to him, I said, that's like, say no more. That's the topic we should talk about, especially if it's focused on Erwin Schrodinger, the guy that Schrodinger's cat, that whole thing, the physicist.
Yeah.
He was famous for a quote that summed up his worldview, which has to do with identity and about consciousness. And that quote is, let me read it. The total number of minds in the universe is one. In fact, consciousness is a singularity phasing within all beings. So in other words, he said that the whole thing is just one mind. All of humans who evolved were just evolved because the consciousness of the creator or of the universe itself needed a fucking body. And so, you know, in order to have fun.
Okay.
It couldn't have ice cream sundae, couldn't drive a racing car, couldn't fucking do anything. And so it needed bodies. And all of us are just sort of like radio receivers, just having and with different shapes of permutations of a nervous system. So therefore we have different personalities and different diseases and different ways. And
yeah,
so you get the picture.
Yeah. So right off the bat, does that take away free will?
No, because each brain, look at, that's the first question. Then you understand what we're talking about.
Yeah. Right.
I would say no. Because some people say there's no free will anyways, right? But I would say no, because each brain has a different neurological configuration whereby a different personality is created. And each person can decide whether they're going to blow their brains out or not. That's basically all.
Man. Okay. First of all, take a step back from the darkness. I love suicide, but like everything you say is like we're going to shoot ourselves in the head.
Wade, let me spell it out for you. The only free will is to kill yourself. That's it. There's nothing else. That's it.
You know what's crazy? So, like, when I think of free will, yeah.
Hang on. I'm so sorry. Don't romanticize suicide, though, right?
If you had people in your family that did that, I apologize, man. I didn't mean to bring up bad memories by quoting, Schrodinger.
All I'm saying is I have had suicidal thoughts, right? And I feel like...
We all have, brother.
Right. Well, because is that a mental illness thing, or do people who are mentally healthy have suicidal thoughts? Like, if Owen Wilson is sitting here, does he go like, "Yeah, man, I'm not going to kill myself"? Like, does he understand what we're talking about?
Look, take it back further. First of all, that's a great question. I mean, that is a really good question. I love that this is going deep immediately, because picture you're fucking 14. You fall in love with a girl for the first time. She fucking hates you. You get humiliated. You want to die. You want to fucking die. You are totally healthy. You're at the prime of your life. You are totally healthy. So wanting to kill yourself is just an emotional reaction to failure and despair.
Well, but okay.
What you're talking about with mental illness is quite a different kettle of fish, of course, and equally to have compassion about, but certainly the thought to kill yourself isn't necessarily mental illness. It could be a completely healthy reaction
But do you think that it's just a matter of willpower, where you're like, oh, everyone wants to kill themselves, but I will like not eat that ice cream?
In my opinion, luckily, the only reason we don't kill ourselves is we don't know if reincarnation, for example, is real. We don't know. We know that there are examples of that happen. And I think that the universe, the world itself, our own nervous system protects us from thinking that reincarnation is real. But that's probably bullshit, what I'm saying, because most of the world believes in reincarnation, right?
But that's a scapegoat, right? Because you're like, oh, I'll kill myself because I think that like there might be more to this.
Yeah, it's weird it takes away the seriousness of the now, but do we need to not have it be as serious also, you know? Let's say free will and consciousness, right? When you guys are talking about suicide specifically, it's
this went deep really fast.
No, we're dark. We're dark, man. This is where it's at.
The crazy thing about being Zen
into this.
And samadhi and the things that I want to talk about is that, like, well, everybody is suffering. Yeah, no matter what state you're in, no matter what, and that's because our ego is wants things, and as soon as you get it, you're going to want more. And so I'm not saying that not getting what you want leads to suffering. When you desire something and you don't get it, or things don't go your way.
Yeah. No, listen, this is an old theory that I have about life, about being a human. Well, and it goes back to the Matrix. I think we've talked about this before. It's like, you can't be content if everything is okay, right? Like, don't you need
conflict.
Yeah.
Wade, you're totally correct, because the old idea, I guess it's a Hindu concept of nirvana, isn't it?
Nirvana actually means to suffer.
What?
Yes. Like, nirvana means not everything is okay. And then if you're Buddhist, you transcend it and go like, not everything is okay, that means everything is okay, kind of stuff.
I thought nirvana was, this is how ignorant I am, dude. I thought that it was a place like heaven. So let's just talk about heaven for a second. The whole idea of heaven is where everything's good. That sucks. You'd want to fucking blow your brains out. They have no guns in heaven, because all the angels would blow the brains out in 2 seconds.
This is what led myself to walk away from my church teachings as a kid.
What church was it? Well,
it was Baptist, but it wasn't like Southern Baptist. It was like Western Baptist, which is a little tame. There are definitely Baptist churches in Colorado that have like people speaking in tongues, but not ours. Ours was very tame.
Willie, same with me. I was Baptist in Littleton, Massachusetts.
Yeah, so it's a very literal interpretation. Mm-hmm. But what was crazy to me was always talking about heaven. The two things that blew my mind was you're telling me that there's streets of gold, so I want to be there. And then you're telling me that there's no sin. And I'm like, I don't know who I am without sin. I have no idea who I am without these desires and everything. And that, but it also made me go, these desires are coming from my physical brain. Yeah. Everything that I interpret the universe in are quote unquote physical senses. Sure, we have emotions, but all of my physical wants, I'm like, is that what they're saying? That like without the body, you won't have your physical desires? Not just sex, but like everything physical, you know?
Interesting, man.
See, looking at something is a physical desire. When you look at it, I think accepting that what you're looking at, sure, there's appreciation and emotion and all the other things attached to it. But at the heart of everything, are all of our desires physical?
Well, let's look at it from this point of view. Imagine,
I mean, no, but yeah, go on.
Imagine if the three of us were evolved balls of light. Let's say that that would be the physical manifestation of the ultimate evolution of a sentient being.
I'm the best at this. I am the best at this. I would be the most evolved ball of light.
Well, get this. After I'm going off on a different tangent though, Willie. What was the last thing you said?
Oh, yeah. We always go on tangents. I was talking about physical desires and like heaven without the sin.
Okay, exactly. So say that we're balls of light at the end of evolution. We're still going to want to have happiness and we're going to want to grow and we're going to want to know more. Right?
See, I always took it as intelligence took away emotions eventually. For like a futuristic society.
Fuck that.
Emotions are a different type of intelligence. So I think, look, and you know that, Willie. Are you kidding me? You've said that before. Emotions are actually supersede intelligence a lot because intelligence is now gauged with logic, which is just a tool. It's not at all a supreme fucking means to truth. It's just a tool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I personally think that in the realm of everything that I've seen, like I really believe that being in the state of love is actually being.
There you go.
It actually is something more than intelligence.
Wade says no. Wait.
Don't encourage him with the state of love. What is the state of love? That doesn't exist. That's not a thing.
Wade, here's the thing. He misspoke. I think what Willie meant was the state of love with humor. Because the only people who don't want to blow their brains out are musicians, lovers, or comedy writers.
Wait, these are the people who don't want to blow their brains out?
Yeah, because people whose default mode is comedy laugh at themselves and they don't take it seriously. So there's no fucking point in.
Well, to go off what you're saying, let me just jump on this real quick.
Hang on, I'm sorry, Willie. I'm sorry, Willie.
Yeah.
Kurt Cobain, Elliot Smith. Fucking, I don't know if Jim Belushi really wanted to kill himself, but like he did enough to like be
not
tortured.
Jim Belushi, dude, the other Belushi.
Oh, John. Shit. God damn it. But do you see what I'm saying though? Like,
here's the thing, that
people,
Kurt Cobain was kind of a prick, so he was not always self-aware. He was kind of a dick as a person. So that's not a good example. I mean, I'm sure there are wonderful.
What about like Jimi Hendrix? What did Jimi Hendrix do wrong?
He didn't kill himself, you fucking nut. He died in his own field.
He did drugs. He did enough to be like, listen, I think if
I died choking on my own puke, but I revived.
You did? Is this real?
I'm just positing that.
I've choked on my puke and woken up from it. I mean, like from sleeping, passing out.
Yeah, we all know. But you're not a genius.
Not yet.
I think that he is. First time I saw Willie performing, doing that fucking robot crazy dance shit, I said, this guy's a fucking genius. That's actually what I said.
Well, it's funny. I'll put that back in. I took it out because I'm like, I feel so gimmicky.
Oh, that's the best. You know what? I remember people, the old comedians in Boston would, and old, by the way, I mean of my age, after Richard Pryor did the, what was the movie? Richard Pryor movie, stand up, just straight stand up. Famous
gosh,
movie.
Gosh, it's before Delirious.
Yeah, you guys know the one I mean. After that, we all went together to see that. After that, they as a group, everybody disparaged prop comics as if they weren't using their imagination to try to think of fucking funny shit.
Right. And I know Delirious is Eddie Murphy, but I'm like, it was before. I mean, obviously, yeah, it was before that, but I couldn't think. It has like one word name in the same way. Anyway, so.
You know the one I'm saying. But that's what it was. It was just, well, no, it's one guy on stage with a mic like Richard Pryor is doing. That kind of bullshit.
So this is like an anti-Steve Martin kind of thing, right?
Well, Steve Martin was the wittiest fucking prick, so he didn't really use props as much as made fun of props. I mean, the arrow through the head.
Yeah, he was doing it ironically. Like, I got an arrow through my head. Isn't that funny?
Exactly. It was also like Kaufman. It was sort of challenging the nature of performance itself.
Wait, which Kaufman?
Andy Kaufman. So it was.
Oh, sure, sure.
And also, George S. Kaufman used to dress up as a guy like Tony Clifton, and he would open for himself before the Broadway.
But don't you think that like Andy Kaufman was like a little bit like, I don't know, man, like. Do you respect Andy Kaufman as like a weird, because like, isn't that just like, I know that anti-humor is like a thing, right? But like, wasn't he too far into it?
Here's the thing. All this kind of stuff about judging is bullshit. So everything is subjective, especially with comedy. You know what I mean? So like I said, when all of my colleagues went, we all went together to see Pryor doing that movie, they suddenly turned on the prop comics and said, your thing is bullshit. It's just a guy on stage with a mic. There's no gimmicks. So they were disparaging imagination on stage, you know?
Yeah. And that's bad, right? I mean, that's like,
well, it's like you swayed public opinion of what is supposed to be funny, you know? And so,
Richard Pryor wasn't Willie. Richard Pryor wasn't saying prop comics suck.
Oh, no.
So the guys in Boston who are kind of like hardcore fucking comedy guys, by the way, the greatest in the business, came to that conclusion, that right wing conclusion themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Here's what I'm saying. Like, what is the snobbery of like comedy? You know, like, oh, fucking, because Richard Pryor is so good, we don't like fucking Rock Carrot on. Top or whatever.
Exactly. Like, that was a good example. And Carrot Top, like, by the way, like
Carrot Top
was hysterical.
Makes people happy.
Yeah.
Carrot Top also was hysterical. It's just that it was fucking corny and it made fun of performing.
Oh, it's super hacky for sure. And so, like, I guess I'm walking down the wrong road of like what is actually funny and what is comedy, and like, there's no answer to that, right?
I wanted to jump back on to just real quick when you guys were talking about
the actual topic we're supposed to be talking.
Oh, no. I'm going back to one of your old tangents.
Okay.
Of like creatives and comedians. In the realm of, you know, committing suicide, you know, I just wanted to say that like when it comes to creative people that are putting themselves out there, everybody knows that has succeeded, that failure is your best ally.
Yeah,
it makes you better. And so when you think about all the people that haven't put themselves out there and haven't experienced failure, I know that we just have to fail too many times, and boy, is it taxing. But to someone who's never failed before, that first failure might be too big for them. You know, I mean, because they're not putting themselves into stepping out of their regular environment. So I'm just saying, in this realm of Zen and suffering less, which is the idea of, you know, meditation, connecting to self, connecting to like quieting your mind, and not caring as much about these physical desires can take away some of your suffering, because suffering is just getting what you don't want. But realizing that you don't want all this stuff can make you suffer less. And I just the mindset of, I mean, there's some great quote, and I don't know, bastardize it, 'cause I don't want to spend too much time looking it up, but it's like, you know, sweep the floor and do the dishes, and then attain enlightenment, and then sweep the floor and do the dishes. It's like, no matter what you find in your mind, when you get what you think is enlightenment, you're still not enlightened, because labeling it as enlightenment and saying that you've attained it is also not enlightenment. It's like a
signal. Well, that's the entire catch 22 of like Buddhism, which is like, if you ever think you're enlightened, you're not, because the whole thing is like, the whole thing is questioning, like, if anyone ever said that they were like the best teacher in the world, it's like, no, you're not. Like, there's someone else out there that's better than you.
And it's individual. And yeah.
Yeah. And realizing that someone else is better than you, that's then, right? Like, that's like, there's the duality of man. And like, just because I can't watch this movie without being on my phone, like, that's the duality of man. Like, does that make sense? Or
The self versus the selfless, you know, like, our egos will always take away our selflessness.
we could pontificate on this forever, but what is the actual, what are we arguing about, for lack of a better term? What's the thing?
There's this idea, this ancient Sanskrit word really doesn't have a modern equivalent of what it means, but samadhi. I want to go off on samadhi for a little bit. Samadhi, if you look up the definition, it's Hinduism, Buddhism. In the dictionary, it's a state of intense concentration achieved through meditation. In Hindu yoga, this is regarded as the final stage at which union with the divine is reached, before or at death. Now, I just want to say that my interpretation of this definition is, this is bastardized by someone who knows nothing about this religion.
Sure.
And samadhi is basically the dumb version, is it's trying to refer to your soul.
Yeah.
But they don't have the word soul. And it's like, who's the observer? When we are looking at things and we notice things, I think samadhi is trying to get to the point that whoever's noticing these things is something without the physical body.
Dude, you just said the most profound fucking thing ever. I was talking to this Jewish mystic, and we're talking about, you know, how did the universe start and all this kind of stuff, and talking about humor. And we're talking about noticing certain things. He said, wait a minute, though, who ultimately is noticing anything? So what you just said is like what that guy said, that who is the ultimate observer? You know what I mean? It's right. And that goes back to the Schrodinger thing we started with, about that his point of view was, which is very interesting and worth talking about, which is why we're talking about it, is that in his view, there was only one consciousness, and it was a singularity that was shared by all consciousnesses, and not only humans, but all trees and all plants and all insects and all, that's just, and all, right. All like rocks, because there's a certain type of a so-called psychic who is a sensitive, because their brain wiring is different, and they can hold a rock and sense what it has been through. Oh, it was in a fucking volcano. Wasn't it near fire? Something basic like that. But some people actually can feel shit like that, because every single thing alive has some sort of a memory to it. That's the concept. So,
well, listen, I mean, I think that's all bullshit. Like,
experienced it, though.
No. Dude, I'm super in tune with that stuff. I agree with all of it. I just don't think that, like, I think these are charlatans, and they're going like, oh, this rock feels something. And like, I don't believe that, but I believe in the sort of like overarching, like, sort of like we're all connected, right?
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah. Wade, put it this way. There's no way you could determine whether you touch something, you could sense something from it, unless you try. And that is countered by the idea, which is the ultimate truism, that con men exist and liars exist, and people just try to make themselves bigger than they are by saying that they can sense things others can't exist. It's a subjective thing. It really is.
Right. And so, but that's the ultimate conundrum, right? Because you don't know who to believe in and not. Right. And I think like the answer, if I could be so bold, is to say like, it's instinct, right? It's like, you're one with everything and like, fuck these motherfuckers who are going to try to sell you some shit.
Let's say that you have a gift, like you got to make money off of it. Otherwise, you've got to go get a job that takes you away from connecting you. You know, like let's say you could hold rocks and feel shit from it. But you get a job as a waiter. So you deal with people talking shit to you and like, hey, man, do you got any rocks? No, man, I need my lasagna. Like, what the fuck? And then you eventually are just like, well, I'm making enough money. I own a business now. And then you never look at the rocks again.
Oh, I got one for you, Willie. So I just did this new book, and part of it is about sentient beings that reach the ultimate form of evolution, which, like we were saying before in a satire, talking about balls of light, right? And the story is that it's called Meet Space Joe, and it's related to this because it's about about evolution and trying to kind of a counter satire of it. When they get to the ultimate ball of light stage, they're kind of fucking bored because there's no conflict, really. There's only aspirations, right? So Meet Space Joe, and we call him that because he aspires to be back in the space he evolved from, the meat space, like that's after a science fiction writer's term. He asks around and he finds out there are certain exercises you can do that can dumb yourself down. And there's certain drugs you can take, similar to like athletes take steroids, that will lower your vibratory rate so that you think in lower thoughts. So you, when you're up at that point, you don't have any divisive thoughts of racism or sexism or anything like that. But if you want to have some actual fulfillment in your life, you need conflict. So they would go to these secret gyms where they would work out and take these drugs that would lower their vibrations so that then they can have more linear thoughts.
I love that idea. And I think about that a lot where it's like, what, okay, so like if an idea gets posed to me that like, oh, the universe is expressing itself and wanting to have a physical experience, and the only way to have a physical experience is to disconnect from the source.
Yeah.
So when I hear that, I try to take that and try to like analyze that version of existence. And I go, well, yeah, you're not going to experience something new if you've already experienced everything. So you got to like just disconnect yourself from it. And so in that realm, why would it not be everything? Have every experience. I don't know if you've heard the story of the egg. I'm sure we've talked about it too many times. But
oh, my God, that's the greatest story ever written, you mean, by the guy that did The Martian?
Yeah, yeah. The gist recap is the one person talking to the god is actually everybody, because God is training him to be a god by having him be everybody. Go have everybody's experience, and then we'll talk when you're done. So,
dude, it's the greatest story ever written, I think. It's Andy Weir, the guy that wrote The Martian. And that story, the egg that you're referring to, Wade, are you familiar with that?
We've talked about it before, so I'm peripherally knowledge about it.
It's such a fucking classic, and it's one of the greatest stories ever written. It's a satire kind of reality because it isn't really. I mean, it's a satire, much like I just was saying about a guy who's a ultimately evolved ball of light wants to do some kind of exercises to get dumber. You know?
Yeah.
So it's also a sat. The egg is kind of a satire of that as well, because the idea that Willie, what you're doing is with the story of the egg, you're bringing it back to the Schrodinger quote that consciousness the total number of consciousnesses in the universe is one.
Yeah.
And that it's a that it's a multifarious expression of the one thing through different nervous systems.
Our mind is so complex that you aren't in a prison. You are the prison. The prison is an illusion. And no matter what rabbit hole you go down to, if you think the Illuminati is like in charge of everything, whatever you think is like holding you back. If the prison is an illusion and you know that, but you still want to break out of the prison, then you're treating the prison as real. So you're taking away the fact that it is an illusion by trying to get out of it. So
wow.
It's just this weird idea that like accepting, let's talk about, cause I've had this fear of enlightening myself more because I don't like the idea of living the life that I'm living. And then also what my idea of enlightened is. And
dude, so you have a family, you have the sweetest fucking kid ever. You've already succeeded.
And so what's cool is like on what I'm realizing now is that you're not going to attain enlightenment, but if you want to enlighten yourself more, you have to just understand that, yeah, you still have to have a job. You still have to live in this life. And so it's like, yeah, it doesn't take away from your life.
Yeah.
It does enhance it because you will probably suffer less. You know,
that's right.
Ultimately what I've been getting to. It's hard to be selfless in LA. And not that that's what you're trying to do, but it's like realizing that you don't need to win the rat race of entertainment and celebrity to still live in this realm and still be working on yourself.
That's right.
Well, I mean, that's everything, right? Forget about LA. That's like, if we all worked in a factory and like some dude was like better at being in a factory than we were. Yeah, we would be like, this sucks, dude. But like the whole point is like, no, it's not about that. It's not a competition. It's just like, be better at being in a factory.
Be better at connecting to what you want to communicate. When I picture this idea of a connected consciousness or myself without my brain, you know, the soul, whatever, I'm just like,
a ball of light.
If I could connect to that, what does that entity want to express? And
well,
you know,
that's everything. That's everything, right? Like the ball of light thing is like, yeah, if we could all connect to that, we would all be great. But like,
no, we wouldn't. We'd want to have a body weight. Sorry to interrupt you. If you're a fucking end of the evolution, the point of the satire thing I was talking about earlier is, you want to have a body so you can do shit, so you can play golf, so you can, like I said, have an ice cream sundae. You can race cars, so you can do crazy
shit.
Well,
so wait, no, I'm totally agreeing with you. But then, what is the step beyond that? Like, what is the enlightenment? Because like, I feel like it's like, I've already done that.
The joke is that the human form in Earth life is the ultimate expression that all entities desire, because despite the suffering, you have a body and it works pretty fucking good. It evolved into this fucking pretty fucking good thing. And that's the one that all, let's say that there were like a demonic or angelic spirits were real, which they probably aren't, but if, except in our minds. But the human form is the best fucking life form because it has heaven and hell in it.
So that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, what are we aspiring to be? Like, isn't this it?
This is it. We're trying to have fun. Anything about truth or politics or religion is all fucking bullshit. Yeah, we're in the right place, dude, for sure.
Yeah. And what happens when we die? Like, who gives a shit? Because like, this is it. Like, it really doesn't matter. It
doesn't fucking matter.
It's cool because it's a good perspective to think that, because then you just value things more. But that can also lead to more suffering because, like, well, it didn't work out for me. Not the way it's supposed to be.
But those are the people who, like, are expecting something. You can't expect anything. Like, just fucking live your life. You can't expect shit.
Come on, look at the main thing that Willie's talking about is the three of us were lucky because we are smart and we know how to we know how to laugh. I mean, that's really
it's very presumptuous and
wait, so many people don't know how to laugh and don't know that life is funny because they were born with some horrible disease and their baby has some fucking parasite that's drilling into its skull.
You know what I mean? Baby has AIDS. How do we fix this baby with AIDS?
You know what's a funny thing that I always laugh at is we personify animals so much that, like, when a puppy doesn't have a leg, people say things like, he still wants to play.
That puppy still does want to play. Like, that puppy's great. But I think that's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. Like, if a puppy doesn't have a leg, he's just like, fuck it, dude. I'm down. Let's fucking run around.
He doesn't dwell on the fact that he used to have one. You know, it's like, no, I still.
And I think that's like what we all are. It's like, we should be the puppy without no leg, right? Like, we should be the guy who's just like rolling with the punches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, Wade? You kind of are like the puppy with no leg with that fucking hand of yours right now.
So,
yeah, man. Like, I don't
know. So I need you to golf one handed from now on because you can't stop.
It's not even like, I can't clean my dishes. I'll figure it out. It'll be fine. That's what I'm saying. Like, roll with it, you know?
That's right.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to keep talking to Martin Olson about, like, I don't even know, man.
Oh,
like,
I got topics in the room. Life. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, right. We'll get there.
I love this conversation. It's great. We're going to keep talking about that, and we'll be back in after this break. Go to TeePublic, Real Life Sci-Fi, and buy some fucking shirts or whatever. Who gives a shit? Because none of it matters, man.
Really Bad Movies, in association with Craig's Fine Grocery Stores, presents A Normal Family.
Billy, catch the ball. Billy, catch it. I'm going to throw it. Billy.
A possessed knife.
Hey, Billy, where'd you get that?
Why?
Well, because Mom wanted to cut some ham that she just cooked, and she doesn't have a knife. She's looking for one. Bring that to Mom.
This knife turns anyone that touches it into a cold-blooded killer.
Mom? What's wrong? The ham's over there. Mom? Mom? Mom?
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath. You don't need to see the other three to enjoy the thrills. And the kills. And the chills.
I wish Mommy didn't kill Billy. He was cool.
The knife. It has me. It has control of me.
What are you talking about, Greg? What are you doing?
Greg, put that thing down, man. That's a serious weapon. Greg!
Everyone killed everyone. Everyone did it. I don't get it. Wait. Maybe I do.
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi. We're talking to our friend Martin Olson. Wait, do you have any, or did we do this already? Do you have any, I forgot. This was like 2 hours ago. Do you have any, you have a book or something? I can't remember.
Yeah, but we went past the credits. We said, fuck that.
Okay, fuck it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good sort of like thematic.
Oh yeah.
Way to get into this, like, God, I hate to say Zen, right?
Zen is good.
It's good, but like, isn't it like, it's conceited to think that you are Zen, right? Like,
no, we're all temporarily Zen. We're all temporarily Zen. Just like you just were talking, I guess in the off time before. Look, like you were saying about a teacher who's bragging that he's a great teacher. Sometimes he's a good teacher. Sometimes he's not. There's no like greatest teacher.
I like the topic leaning towards the idea of the illusion of the self, that like whoever we think we are and all the things that we want and all the things that we've done is not actually who's driving the car, you know?
Well, that was the most beautiful thing about the Schrodinger quote, right? The total number of consciousnesses in the universe is one.
Picture every human in the history of humans and like picture how expanseful the universe is and like as far as we can look, big or small exists. There's more space than matter. The things, it doesn't make sense for our science, for all of, you know, they talk about the Big Bang. They talk about what's the big collapse called? I forget the opposite. They talk about how, like, whatever we come up with, like, eventually we learn enough more to be like, oh, no, it's not like that. And so I'm just going off this on this tangent going like, picture an AI. This is the parallel.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Learning.
This is great.
Yeah. Learning that it is an AI. The only way that it can learn it's an AI is to learn that it's not a human, because it's looking going like, well, I'm like you. I'm like you. Oh, no, I'm not like you. And so like the limitations of an AI living, this is a classic movie trope, but like an AI living amongst humans that then learns it's an AI, you take away all its power by just fooling itself that it's a human. Yeah.
Yeah, but like what's a human? Like I would challenge that notion of the AI doesn't, it's somehow lesser than we are because it doesn't know that it's like a human, but like.
No, Wade, what he's saying is, I understand what you're talking about, but what he's saying is that with an AI, it's a created thing as a result of humanity, but it's still evolved in the process. It's just like a subhuman in a way. It's created by humans. It didn't evolve. It evolved in the evolution of humanity. And so an AI is the same. We are all, human beings are just fucking flesh robots.
The parallel I'm trying to make is, does the AI limit its potential by not realizing it's not an AI? And so like when I say that, I say, are we limiting our potential by not realizing that our soul, or whatever that word is you want to use, that our soul is going to live on past our human bodies?
Sure, we are. I think you're absolutely right. And I think that analogy is fucking brilliant, by the way. I've never thought that thought. And certainly the AI thing is the most evocative concept ever, because I have a story for you. Willie, check this out. It has to do with this about sanity and insanity. So let's say that insanity would be a robot who doesn't have self-awareness because it's fucking a machine, right? And how do you make a machine self-aware? How do you fucking do that? You can only make it pretend that it's self-aware. So I'm on a plane, and this is one of the few times I was in first class by some fluke. I was like doing Penn and Teller show, and they had a first class ticket. And so next to me was a psychologist. We were talking, and I said, so how does it work with you? What do you do? He says, how do you cure people? He says, no, you don't cure them. I said, what do you mean? He said, with people who are insane, he didn't use the word insane, but he said, you try to get them to act sane. There's no way to cure someone. You just have them, their behavior change so that you, when they tell you things that happened where they caused a scene or where they fucked up, you tell them how to act sane. And the more they act sane, they're simulating sanity. And I was so fucking shocked by that because he was an honest dude. He's telling me that as a psychiatrist, basically he was trying to just tell people to try to pretend to be sane.
Well, it's crazy when you say that, I think of all the moments that I have had intense anxiety. And my number one goal is to not let anybody in on it, you know, and not to protect myself or anything, but it's just like, no, like everything's fine. I'm fine in here. Like I'm acting normal. Like, so I'm like
Willie,
convincing myself that I am not.
Willie, then you must really admire that shrink because I did.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't trying to.
Yeah. I mean, Willie admires that shrink because he is crazy.
As we all are, you fucking nut.
Right?
No. I'm totally saying I'm like super level about all this shit. I get it. But Willie is like, everyone who thinks. So here's Willie's problem. He thinks everyone thinks like he does.
Everybody does. Oh, wait a minute. That's not true. No, he doesn't. He knows that people are right wing and fucked up.
No, he definitely believes that. What's that guy's fucking name?
Some philosopher who thinks that everybody's the same.
No, I was trying to do a joke about right wing.
Oh, you failed.
So just to go in a new direction, the sanity versus sane, that I wanted to talk about humanity and our brains are conditioned to not step outside of the box in the realm of being a part of a society. You know, it's like, well, don't step out of line, you know, like revolting is bad, all the, you know, and like obviously these things happen, but ultimately it's like,
you want to get along.
The chicken, you know, the baby chick thing where, like, if they're all injured and you put a normal one in there, the normal one's going to act injured. We've defined sanity.
Yeah.
And so I think creatives are closer to being insane and they enjoy and have fun breaking outside of the box of sanity. Man.
You are so right. And here, let me break that down the way I see that, is that sanity and insanity is there's a very clear dividing line. But I'm going to go into my opinion about what you said, which disputes that. My point about insanity and sanity being a clear dividing line is that people who are insane don't care about trampling on the rights of others. People who are sane want everybody to have freedom. And so people who are insane don't want everyone to have freedom, which is fucking insane. So that's the evil of the world. In other words, evil is insane, is what I'm saying.
But also, though, to put on top of that, I always got to like take my shots at religion. they will also try to take their shots in the realm of, if you're insane, it's evil. I kind of lost my train of thought.
Well, you know what? You're right. You're right. And I'm wrong, because obviously insanity is not evil, but the desire to trample on other people's rights is evil. That's what evil is.
Yeah.
Not insanity is like just a neutral thing. It's just like bad wiring in the
brain. Well, that's one thing that's always gotten me, is like, how can we, these idiot humans, determine good and evil? it's such a weird subjective thing.
Dude, I'm saying it's not subjective. I'm saying that evil is when you trample on, when you supersede the rights of others, when you put your rights over the rights of others instead of realizing they have rights too.
What if you had a bunch of people that didn't want to get out of the pickup truck, but getting out of the pickup truck would save them? I'm just like trying to think of like the situations where it's better that people, because I always imagine the situation of science versus the Trailer Park South.
Yeah, right.
Well, like, how do you convince them that we need to go to space? I don't mean to say them. I'm just saying that, like, take the most unintelligent of a society and convince them that we need to go to the moon.
Go back to the rights of humans. If you're like in a lynch mob, you are totally convinced, and rightly so, by everything that has happened, that the black guys that you are lynching in the South need to be lynched, because your entire society depends upon it. But what you're not doing is stepping back to realize, oh, wait a minute, I'm trampling on the rights of somebody else.
The way
I'm trampling on them is by saying that they're not even human. I'm making up a thing that that is just out of ignorance, saying they're not human, but I am.
If you can make something less than you, then they get less, exactly. You know? And so in the same realm, when I picture a rock having consciousness, and I picture blowing up a rock with a nuke on accident, it's like, well, these things aren't important. You know, like, we can set this nuke off right here. Where do we draw the line on intelligence?
I remember
Go on.
I remember this guy who said, look, if you swat a mosquito because he's biting you, the mosquito's consciousness is much smaller than yours. So I said, wait a minute, though. If you go down to mosquito size, the mosquito's consciousness is fucking huge. He said, dude, you are way bigger than the mosquitoes and have a lot more fucking self-awareness than a fucking mosquito. So shut up.
You know, we always justify everything that we do that we think is bad. And so when I picture killing rodents and mosquitoes and being fine with that, it's like, hey, if I don't kill these things, entities that can infest will kill you, you know? So, like,
damn right, dude. You've got to kill mice.
You've got to kill rodents.
Yes, exactly. We had like ducks. Harmless fucking ducks. We had the last fucking ramshackle shack in Venice Beach on the canals. And my wife's brother was staying with us, and he was a little bit like nutty. And he insisted upon letting the ducks come in, and he would feed them on our patio. And pretty soon, I'm not even kidding, even though I tend to do comedy hyperbole about it, the whole place was a fucking swath of shiny, slippery duck shit across the entire fucking patio. Fuck that shit. So I said, stop that. Stop feeding them. We're going to get rid of these ducks and get them out of this yard. And he was like furious. And so that's the conflict between insanity and sanity. So you have to have some sort of a sense of reality and make a judgment call. You know,
I've got these people in my neighborhood that feed all these fucking pigeons. And so they're feeding these rats that like shit everywhere. So when I walk through their shit and then track it into my house, is that pigeon shit dust going to end up killing me because you wanted to save a few birds?
Well, here's the thing, Willie. You have never licked your shoes. The pigeon shit tastes so good. It's like fucking delicious. It's like a gourmet treat.
It's like ice cream, dude.
It's like shrimp pudding. Something that should not be, that is the most delicious.
Something that should not be is the most delicious should be on your tombstone. That's the greatest quote ever.
Shrimp pudding
is pretty good.
I remember Wade one time when we were out, like sitting on a patio when the night birds began to sing under the moon. And Wade was telling me about the delicacy of the pigeon shit. You know what I mean? I said, what are you talking about? That's unhealthy. He said, just try it. And I tried it, and it was so delicious. And I guess
you look like an idiot right now. It's like, it's so good.
Well, here's my new question for you guys, right? Let's jump into just something new in this realm.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about this because we were talking about this in the previous episode, you know, just competitiveness in the realm of Zen, right? I mean, I know that this is...
Oh, that's the funniest concept ever, dude. If you have Zen monks who are trying to be competitive about their, about how compassionate they are, that's the funniest fucking joke in the world.
Yeah, because how do they... They're like, I'm... no, yeah.
I'm more compassionate. It writes itself,
right?
Yeah.
I am the most fucking Zen.
I can prove that I'm more awakened than you.
Dude, because like, my office. You can't even, like, I was there from the beginning, and I was way more, like, Zen. And then this other dude's like, well, I don't know, I feel like I could maybe be more Zen than you. It's like, no, man, you can't. You can't do that.
Have you guys heard of this? There's this ancient parable that parable called the elephant parable. Have you heard of this? The idea is you take 20 blind men and they're all touching an elephant, trying to describe what an elephant is.
Oh my God. Yeah. I've heard that. Keep going. Yeah.
But they're all in their own spots. And so one guy's like, oh, you know, this thing is got a really long, it's a really long, scrunchy, it's like a tube. And there's other guys like, oh, this thing is just a big giant ear, whatever, whatever. All these blind people are describing parts of an elephant, and they're very valid in their description, but they're wrong to everybody else based on what they're experiencing. So one idea is that, like, humanity itself is never going to figure it out because our perspectives are all so different about what we're experiencing that we will never agree on what we're experiencing, but it's all the same experience.
Yeah, man, that's the problem. Subjectivity is the problem to try to figure out what's real, you know?
Yeah, well, no, listen, subjectivity, I think, is the answer, right? It's like, fuck it, who gives a shit? Like, it isn't the point of life to be like, this is what I'm doing. And so, like, I don't give a fuck what you think about an elephant.
Get these blind guys out of here. What do you guys do? Who paid for this?
But like, yeah, but it's like, fuck it. Oh, yeah, you guys see an elephant. I don't give a shit. Like, isn't the whole point of life to be like, who cares? Like, this is an elephant, I guess, but I don't really care that much.
Well, you know, it's weird because humanity, our experience is in this place where we're all still fine winning the most money. I know that I'm making it sound cheap. I'm sorry. I don't mean to go down that road. But what I'm getting at is when I picture a different version of humanity, let's say 20 years from now, we've gone to Mars. Right. And we have a colony there.
Yeah.
Is colonialism through space going to be the same as it was through Earth? You know, are we going to be, we're not more advanced in the mind. So we're just be the same idiots that are like, we're going to have space pirates and
right. Yeah.
Like if we don't evolve as humans, then we can guess who's going to rule Mars. It's like whoever takes it over.
Well, exactly. We're not going to evolve. You know what I mean? As long as we're not balls of light, we're going to be human forms. I had a joke actually whereby in that exact setup of the Martian colonists, the biggest success would be to be a guy that that brings in pornography.
I was laughing about that today. I work on a talk show and they were talking about this show that's number one on Netflix. And I was just like, well, that's so subjective because if porn was allowed on Netflix, it would be number one. So that doesn't make number one good. So I don't need really to hear what the fuck your show is.
Really? That's a really funny thing to say, dude. That's hilarious. That would be a funny premise if like, if Shakespeare had to suddenly compete with another playwright who did really body fucking porn shit and he fucking and he totally and he completely was cast aside.
Oh man, I mean, I don't want to be too inside baseball with this shit, but like, fucking,
what's going on?
Well, like, so you're comparing Shakespeare to a guy who's just like into like getting the hits, right?
Yeah, it's a guy who gets the laughs and gets the fucking audience.
And it's like, oh, that's like a really hacky way to do this, but like, I'm trying to like do something more. Like, I'm trying to like tell a story and it's going to be great. But well, you guys would rather like just like.
Wait, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What do you think? Like, for example, say if Shakespeare had to compete with some guy who was doing really bawdy stuff that the audience really liked.
And Steve-O. We'll say Steve-O.
Okay. Although he's a good, nice guy, though, isn't he?
No, he's great. He's great. I'm just laughing going like.
Yeah.
Intellectual that, versus entertainment.
Say that Shakespeare had to compete with a guy in a theater right next to the Globe whereby they did more body fucking porno stuff. And all the people went there. So,
yeah.
So it isn't about that. It's about the funniness about it's not about what is good or isn't bad. It's,
well,
the thing of attracting an audience isn't necessarily about what is good or bad.
Okay. All right. Well, so this is like a two-part thing. Like, first of all, I would say that what do you get out of, like, why are you a writer? Like, what you want?
I know why. Wait, I have the exact answer for you before you continue with your fucking drunken babbling. And the answer is, I'm writing for myself.
Right. I think there's a. I don't think integrity is the right word. I think it's right. It's more about like
satisfaction.
Satisfaction. Like and this is the we've talked about all this. Like, what's the point of life? Right.
Yeah. Right. And satisfaction is the big part of it for sure. And that's all I care about. I only care about if I'm laughing or I'm crying at my work.
Right. So you versus
somebody who panders towards trying to get
Steve-O or likes, whatever.
Trying to get likes on the internet.
Yeah. And so does that make us better than people? Like,
it makes
are we
us
better?
It makes us suffer less. It makes us happier.
Yeah, but it doesn't really, because like then we see these people like getting really good. Like if it's a YouTube person or something, and they're like,
I honestly don't care about them because I'm fucking old.
You don't put yourself up against them though.
Because I'm fucking old, dude.
If I was just a dentist, I feel like I'd be a hilarious dentist. But because. Because I'm trying to be funny, I'm never going to be as funny as I want to be.
I see. Yeah.
I just think like we've entered a new world where like entertainment is ambiguous, and you can do a YouTube show where like people will love it.
There's a guy who staples his balls that makes more money than you.
Right. And yeah, exactly. And I would much rather like not do that.
So the actual bottom line is whether you're making yourself happy.
That's the whole thing. That's the entirety of life, right?
Right.
Outside of we being entertainers and going like, how do we entertain people? Outside of all of that. Isn't it just, I feel like this would be a fun thing for me to do. And you know what? That's awesome.
For me, it's a little bit different. It's not even, there's no thinking involved. It's all about when I'm writing or when I'm doing music. It's if I'm laughing or I'm crying, then I know it, then that's what I want.
So when you're writing and you make yourself laugh, which I think is like every writers. That's all they want to do, to make themselves laugh. But that's you don't think about like how people are going to take this.
Well, I was lucky because I was writing since I'm fucking 12 in my room. And so I was always, my audience was myself. My parents hated my shit. I was doing like stuff about death and mass suicides. And I was writing shit that was like based on Edgar Allan Poe or some fucking.
So you're like,
who was your audience? Like,
me. I was the audience.
Yeah. So you're like a little loser.
Yes, I was.
I didn't fucking care if anybody liked
you're it. You're the successful right. loser story, because most losers aren't successful.
But that's the point. That's the point, isn't it? Willie, let me ask you this. How many times have you gotten anything out of trying to make someone else laugh? Like, don't you just try to make yourself laugh?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like,
good question, man.
I do agree with that. I'm just poking fun because I'm like, you know, ultimately, like, I get very depressed when the things that make me laugh don't make other people laugh, because I'm just like, oh, man, like, it really made me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the whole thing. Like, do you think that Judd Apatow, like, cares about shit? Or do you think that he's just, like, counting money?
First of all, Judd Apatow is a good guy. He's just, like, exactly like us. I mean, he's, like, a nice person.
But he's very much a fucking, like, I'm going to make a shitload of money on this shit.
I think you're wrong. I think he's trying to make himself laugh. I think that's a bad example.
I don't think it is. All right, Martin.
Yeah.
Is Funny People good?
I never saw it.
I didn't either.
All right. Is This Is 40 good?
I never saw that. Never even heard of it.
I didn't either.
Dude, so what are you talking about? So how is Judd Apatow, like, I don't understand.
Those couldn't be his biggest movies, because I've seen his movies, and his movies made me laugh.
What, like fucking 40-Year-Old Virgin? Or
fuck yeah, that made me laugh, you fucking nut.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not challenging you. Oh, shit, hang on.
That made me fucking laugh, absolutely. I don't know those other things. Who's the funny guy who was in Saturday Night Live, the funniest fucking dude ever, that he works with? What's his name?
Well,
Adam Sandler.
I'm going to say Adam Sandler, yeah.
No, the other guy. But Adam Sandler, fucking, yeah. Who's the other guy?
I don't know which era Will, are you talking
Will
about?
Ferrell.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Will Ferrell. Yeah,
we're talking about just the maximum funniness, because those guys don't fucking care,
dude. But like, Will Ferrell's great, but like he oh, man. I mean,
Adam Sandler don't fucking care. They're just doing what they do, and so any of this judgment shit is fucking bullshit. Some people are gonna like it. Some people aren't. I fucking dig it.
I listen, I love everything that they've done. Well, hang on. There's a caveat with this.
Plus, I gotta tell you that Adam Sandler was always super nice to me in person. And there was no reason for him to be nice to me. He was always a super fucking nice guy. So that's
he doesn't have anything to lose to be in it. He's just
plenty of people are fucking assholes and fucking,
yeah.
fucking jerks
yeah.
to people because they man. Are egotistical.
The weird thing about someone who's an asshole is like they're so oblivious to it that it's not like they're like putting themselves in check. It's just like, no, they're just assholes.
Exactly right. You know what? I wrote the SAG Awards for 4 years. It's only like a 3-month gig. And me and Jeremy Kramer were writing partners on it. And we had to meet with all of the celebrities, and I don't even know who. I don't watch movies. I don't even know movies. I'm such an idiot. And my wife had to tell me who the people were. And there were only like a couple people who were jerks to me, because I had to sit down with them, and I would fax. This is way, way back. I would fax them the speeches I would write to them for the SAG Awards, and then they would come in and I have to sit down with them, and a couple cases, they didn't even bother reading it. And one of them was who's the gay guy, the really good actor, who's the gay guy who raped a bunch of guys, who was Me Too'd? Who was that?
Is it Kevin Spacey?
Kevin Spacey was the biggest asshole to me ever.
Wow.
He wouldn't even, because I had called up Dennis Leary, because I knew Dennis is an old friend of mine, and he had done a movie with Kevin Spacey called...
Hang on, though. I hate to interrupt your story, but like, sure. Can you please tell us what Dennis Leary is like?
Dennis Leary is the greatest guy ever. Dennis Leary,
before you get into it.
Aside from the fact that he stole shit, Robin Williams.
So it's like the Bill Hicks thing, right? Like did he steal shit?
He totally did.
Which bits did he steal?
His major bits.
Wow.
Well, but his major bits to me is he wants to make the packs. He wants to make the warning on the packs of cigarettes bigger. I'm just doing his.
I never knew that gag was stolen. There were other gags that were stolen, but let's get past that shit. He fucked up.
All right.
But I'm talking about Dennis Leary as a guy that you talk to. He's a good guy, and he will help people and not be like egotistical about it. But he stole shit, so. I mean, what the fuck? So he fucked up with that. But in terms of a personal relationship with him, he was very loyal and helpful to so many people. Let's put it this way. Every single year, he's the only one that did like he created out of his own fucking fabric of his mind this charity that he did for the firefighters of Boston. The firefighters of Boston had no fucking money at all. And so he would go, he organized this charity every year, and it made fucking a million fucking bucks a year. And it went right to the fire. I'm just giving you an example how morality is relative.
Oh, shit. Okay. We're getting into this. All right. So morality is relative.
In other words, if someone isn't like geared towards hurting people, but they fuck right. up. But they yeah. fuck up. If they don't have malice, but yeah, they fuck up.
But that's easy for a millionaire to do, right? Like, I mean,
no, I'm talking about when he was early, he stole shit. He was like Robin Williams. He would steal shit and then pay people up. Here's a grand. I'm sorry that I fucked up and did your bit on the Tonight Show. I mean, Williams did that all the time to Stephen Pearl.
Well, yeah, everyone in LA has heard that, like, Robin Williams would, like, steal a bunch of shit.
But he was a golden person, aside from his fucking idiocy about when he was in his mania of fucking, on the Tonight Show, of riffing, he would fucking lift entire bits that he heard, mainly Steve Pearl. Do you know him?
Who's Stephen Pearl? Is this a
one of the greatest one of the greatest joke writers I've ever seen? The San Francisco act.
He's a dude.
Yeah,
Stephen Pearl.
You'd love him.
I can't. I can't look it up because my hand is busted.
You can Siri it. Yeah, Siri, look up.
Okay, Steve, Google.
Steve Pearl.
Who's Steve Pearl? All right, it's working. Result from a search. Oh, it just gave me a bunch of fucking.
What
does this have to do with the?
The point is that some comedians are more theft oriented than others, and then you look past that. There's no way to justify their thievery, but there is a way to. Look at the humanity of how good they have been to other people. And so crazy, you know, he was like a good guy. It's just that he fucking was an idiot and like Robin Williams stole material. And so it's not a black and white thing. It's like the, what do you call it? The, what do you call the thing with the, that's happening now with the left-wing fascists. What's that thing? The cancel culture. It's like that.
Yeah.
There's no fucking canceling shit. It's all fucking gray. You have to fucking... Right. You can't go with a trend and suddenly judge someone. You have to look at the whole fucking picture.
If you cancel somebody, who learns anything from it? Exactly. Do we learn from watching them burn that this is something you shouldn't do?
You know what? It's not learning. It's satisfaction that the left, very much like the right, has evil tendencies. We're all the same.
Yeah.
I would say it's like... you know how we hate Britney Spears, right? Like,
I don't fucking hate her at all.
I don't fucking hate her. No, we don't. But like, the point is, like, oh, she was on top of the world, and like, I love that she's dying now. She's cutting her hair.
Oh,
off
that like the masses love to watch them burn.
I never loved that.
Watch them fall.
Yeah, I think that's America, right? America is like, like any of these people who are like really high, we want to take them down because we're pieces of shit.
I see. Yeah, of course. You're right.
All right. Should we wrap this up?
yeah. I mean, you know, we'll get on having another fun bonus episode, but like ultimately, I'll do a quick closing statement. You guys can add one too. It's crazy to me to think that no matter what you believe, it can be so specific to you that you know, like in the same way that I constantly project my beliefs on everyone else, and like that's not what anyone else is believing.
You're right.
Believing. I'm just like, it's crazy to me that we are in a society that has a hard time communicating with ourselves. we at our fingertips are every different way to communicate with another human, and we're still so bad at it. And I picture us trying to fumble our ways into the future, and I'm just like, you know, right now, like we're at a time when the Pentagon and military are like admitting that like UFOs are quote unquote real, and sure they might be saying like, oh, there's no proof that there's aliens in there, but there's also no way for us to prove that there's aliens in there. So why listen to these idiots tell us about how stupid we are when whatever. I'm just laughing that like we going into the future, we're very intelligent, but we're so fucking dumb that it's going to be hard. We're going to have some hard years. And if aliens are real, they're going to have some hard years getting to know us. I only say that because all of this connected consciousness stuff makes me go like, well, if there's a more intelligent race out there and I believe in a connected consciousness, they're connected to it too. And so
exactly. That's
so
the
we
point.
Can learn from them, but we're going to be so against them in the beginning that we might blow a bunch of them out of the sky, and too bad
it's
for
like
us.
It's like the lynch mob, dude, just because they're not us.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, how come your hat isn't blinking?
Oh, because we lost. The Avalanche lost. We're out of the playoffs.
Oh, no way. Really?
Yeah. Wow, and so my light stopped shining. I had like a Christmas light hat that was flashing the whole time.
Can you do me a favor, a personal favor? Can you shine it anyway?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know what? I'm very proud of our team, and we happened to play one of the best teams in the league, and we lost.
Well, you know what? Fuck that shit. I am so happy about your son. I mean, one of my favorite things is looking pictures of you with your family. Willie, it's literally, it's one of my favorite things.
You know,
Fox Sports and all that shit.
He's a delightful monster. And,
oh, my God.
And he has a good time. And it's weird to talk about, like, even tonight's topic going like, well, here I am trying to get to help someone find their light, and it's stressful, but it's the most amazing thing in the world. Also,
it's stressful, dude. I have two kids, and so it was the exact same thing. But it just, you know what, the way that you communicate your family's unity with those photos is so fucking beautiful and fun. It's all about fun. It really is. I mean, Wade talked initially at the beginning about suicidal tendencies we all have. The antithesis of that is fun, you know? So that's what you've been expressing with your kid.
Oh, it's so hard to picture how to get a kid to not suffer when it's like, dude, you can't have a new toy every day. You're going to burn out. And he is. And I'm, we give him a lot of toys. And it's like, now it's like, we can't give him any because when he gets a toy, the first thing he wants to do is like, give me another one. I'm like, wait, enjoy this one. No, give me another one.
We used to have, my wife and I, we built a catapult. So we would just catapult our kids into the lake. And they had to swim back. And it worked beautifully because they, you know, they learned survival. And also it was fun.
Yeah, it's fun for everyone involved. Except for the kids.
So, Wade, I've heard a lot of rumors about your unacknowledged kids. So don't feel aloof from this shit because, I mean, a lot of them are in Compton. You know, a lot of your kids are in the underprivileged areas.
Oh, well, but I'm, yeah, I know. But, like, I'm putting my money into, like,
charities.
What?
Charities.
I know you
put a lot of your money into charities, and
that's all I do, man. I put all my money into charities.
Also, I was very surprised, Wade, at how much fucking money you have. I don't know if it's a trust fund, but you have donated so much money to charities. I just, hats off to you. You know?
Oh, thank you so much. I'm very broke, mostly because I put all my money into the charities.
So that is very admirable.
Oh, thank you.
I would love it. I would love it if there was someone out there who bragged about how much money he put into charities. Wait. Do you mean charities? Yes, charities.
Charities.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Remember that. Oh, shit. What's the thing? Oh, no. I got it.
You can do it.
Wait, what's the?
Just because you're paranoid.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you.
Yes.
Get it.
Right.
All
right,
we're gonna keep the conversation going. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi.
Oh yeah.
We're gonna keep it going.
Oh yeah.